Well, hey, Jacobswell Online. This is Jenna Kaiser, Formation Director at Jacobswell Church, and I'm here with Diane Bryant again. We're going to be covering some JW Grow content and continuing to talk about spiritual practices and how we can use them to advance our spiritual lives. So hi, Diane, again. Glad to have you.
Well, great to be here, Jenna.
Yeah, we're continuing our conversation about spiritual practices. Again, I've said this every time, but if you haven't listened to the first one about our overview of spiritual practices, you should go back and listen to that one first. And that will help people get really a sense of what spiritual practices are for and why they matter. But today we're going to dive in and we're going to talk about the spiritual practice of presence, which seems a little ambiguous. Not going to lie to you, Diane. So tell us what presence is and how to practice it.
Yes. And it is a little nebulous, isn't it? Because God is always present, you know, back to Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is in us as we are His. But it also, when we say practicing the presence, for some that leads to, which is a word that everybody's heard out there, the whole mindfulness idea. But we do know this Christ in us. And so He is with us all the time. So what practicing the presence really is more about is just developing that continual openness and awareness of Christ being present all throughout the moments of our days. So it's an invitation to see and experience every moment as a gift from God. So that really incorporates engaging my mind, thinking about it, engages my heart and engages just even, you know, our whole being again, that every moment's a gift from God, and it's to live alive being with God, living alive in that moment. I like to use the idea of going through my day looking for God sightings, or, gosh, where did I see God in this? Where am I seeing God? So it's being more aware of noticing His presence with us throughout the day. We're aware of that in our mind, and we know it's true because Scripture says it, and the Holy Spirit's with us and, you know, always present, but being and looking for that awareness throughout the day of, oh, gosh, that was you, God, in that. Or, you know, in another person as we're with them, or all those little moments. I think that takes a little less of the nebulous of it, because we're just looking for how is God right here, right now, and what's going on in my life. I want to read what C.S. Lewis says about that. He says, we may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. So absolutely, God's always here. You said that, Jen, at the beginning. The world is crowded with Him. He walks everywhere incognito. So look for the incognito God. Where did you see Him today? That's kind of the beginning of practicing the presence of God.
Yeah, it sounds like something that if you were just starting out to practicing the presence of God, that you might end up doing it more retroactively at first. Like maybe you spend some time at the end of your day, you journal what your day was like. We haven't talked about journaling yet, but I would say for any of the practices we've talked about, it's super helpful just to journal and write them down, because then you can come back to them later and you can see the fruit, actually, of spending time with God instead of it feeling like, I don't know, stuff just goes into a void, because it doesn't. God does stuff with it.
Anyways,
that's my soapbox about journaling. But it seems like practicing the presence of God can be retroactive at first, where you think back through your day and maybe things that you had attributed as coincidences or because of something else or because you did them. You can actually go back and see, nope, that was God. That was God moving in me. That was God giving that gift of beauty to that thing that I saw. And I would guess that the more we do that retroactively, the more that we probably allow ourselves to see that in the moment then.
Yes, and just in saying that, then that's how that practice is developed. Absolutely. So you can begin your day and end your day. You can begin your day with, okay, God, I got my feet on the floor, hit the floor, and here we go. Let me be aware of looking for You through this day. Okay, you can start with that. And then just let that be in the back of your mind as you're going through that day. And maybe it's not something you actively thought of. But then at the end of the day, as you just said, Jenna, take that journal or, you know, before you go to bed at night, sit on the edge of that bed and think, okay, what were as I'm looking back, what were three ways that maybe I was surprised by God today, or I cited God now as I look back? And then, just as you said, because of that, it becomes a bit by bit a more of a active attentiveness throughout the day, because it's become a pattern and a rhythm in our life of, oh, that, gosh, that song I just heard just spoke to me. That was a God incognito. That song was meant for me. You know, I haven't heard it for 10 years, but there it was, and that word right now spoke to my heart. Those kinds of things, and become more and more of our attentiveness of our day. So, again, we're redirecting ourselves to this God as center, and not letting all those external distractions mark the course of our life, but we're looking for God in our life throughout the day.
Yeah, practicing the presence seems like it's one of those things that ends up leading into doing a bunch of other practices better in some way, or being more aware of other things. So I can see, if I were to grow in practicing the presence of God, I think I would have a more fruitful Sabbath day, or I could see becoming better at practicing gratitude, because then you start to see, oh, that's God moving right now. And here's a moment where, oh, that wasn't by my will or my skill or something like that, but that's because God has gifted me. I'm so grateful for that.
Yes.
So I could see the way that this really impacts a lot of other things around it. And you mentioned this a little bit at the beginning, but that there's this thing that we're always talking about now called mindfulness. There's also something called Eastern meditation. So how does practicing the presence of God differ from mindfulness and from Eastern meditation practices?
Each of those, the mindfulness and those other practices, are bringing ourselves to this silent place where we're self-focused. The practice of the presence is always focused on the center of bringing us to God. That's the difference. It's not focusing on ourselves, focusing on God. So practicing the presence is always other-directed to Him, not centered, self-directed to us. And those practices bring peace to a person, but this practice is to bring us to in the presence of God and Him in us. And that's always what we want to keep in all these practices of, again, back to this. This is about being centered with this God who is us, in us, not us, but in us, the God who loves us.
Yeah, that's a good word on even spiritual practices in general aren't about us achieving self-actualization, or it's not even about good self-care, right? People have a lot of opinions about what that is and what it isn't right now, but it's about centering ourselves on God and becoming more aware of God and who God is creating us to be. It's not about us.
Yeah, it is not about us, absolutely, at all. And you know, and Jenna, that speaks to another point that I want to be sure that we continue to carry in this. And it isn't by doing these practices we can make God do what we want God to do. You know, that control thing enters into there. Again, it isn't about getting God to show Himself to us in new and tremendous ways. God continues to act as the God who's infinitely beyond us and yet intimately involved with us because He loves us. But our practice doesn't make Him perform. It's never about that. And our performance doesn't make Him love us anymore or any differently. We do these because it draws us nearer to His heart, transforming us more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what they do.
Yeah, and that's all about the expectation, right? Of if we expect that if we do these practices, then God will do X, Y, and Z, or then I will become X, Y, and Z. That's continuing us believing that God is transactional in some way. And if God is transactional, man, we got a lot to make up for on that whole grace thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is more than that. It's more than transactional. It's talking about becoming the people that God has already created us to be. And that, at the end of the day, involves a lot of surrender of what we think we know and what we want to control. And there are parts of that that are difficult. And it doesn't mean that every day is magical and you have some big epiphany.
Exactly.
But it means the slow, steady plod of following Jesus and practicing.
Yep. That's right. That slow, steady part. You know, it was, Eugene Peterson's of a long obedience in the same direction. He wrote a book on that, but long obedience in the same direction. And it is a slow, steady, step by step. And yet it is not without joy, but we can't, just because we're doing it doesn't control God to have to respond in the way that we think we want him to. That I do feel this, God, I'm doing this, so now I want to feel this great, magical, wonderful thing, or I want to feel something. There may be a day that you do it, that you just do it because it's a practice that you do. If I didn't brush my teeth today, eventually my teeth would fall out. And so I do it because I know there's a benefit for my soul. Well, not for my teeth, for my teeth when I'm brushing it, but the practice is for our soul, is because it transforms us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. I may not see that every day, but over time. Absolutely. So practicing the presence is so much of that. And the fruit of that is that we grow in that, what Jesus talks about in John 15 and in those next couple of chapters, but that abiding in him, in the vine, that is that abiding day in and day out. As I am seeing him in the moments of my days, I'm abiding with him. And, I don't have to feel that necessarily every day, but I can know that, and then I know it from my head, taking it to my heart, yes. And then he does choose to delight us by the God, where were you in this today, God? There you were. I saw you. Or were you in my neighbor's face when I brought cookies over to them? There you were. You know, it's the small and delightful wonders that we miss. And it can also be, sometimes it can be a big thing that is right in our face as well.
Yeah, I saw something the other day on Facebook. It was a meme that someone had shared about April weather in Wisconsin and how every other year April is full of snowstorms and we continue to live in our seasonal affective disorder lives, and the darkness continues even though spring has theoretically come. And then suddenly this year, April's been, as it's come, and even the end of March has been like uncommonly beautiful. And so people have sort of guffawed at that. Like, of course, the one year that there's a pandemic happening, we all have this beautiful weather. Or there's like a perspective shift there. And that's a lot of what you're talking about, is just shifting perspective to practice the presence. And what if it's a gift from God that the weather is that beautiful? Because can you imagine having to do this if there were snowstorms every other day?
That's right.
Like, man, I don't know what would happen, but we'd be doing some kind of stir crazy dance.
Yeah. Practicing that, the presence is that reframing as well. It's reframing of this moment. And this, you know, that's so hard for us, is this is the moment, because we so much want to always live out in anticipation of what is to come. And that's not ours to own. This is what we have right here. So if I can be filled with gratitude in it, whatever this moment looks like, because this moment moves into the next. And in the next moment, I might be feeling something different. But to just be in it with him, and how beautiful that is, and to take delight in that as well. And to have grace again. St. Benedict has this saying, he says, every day we begin again. And you can take that to every moment. I begin again with you, God, every moment. And we can bring prayer into that too, Jen. I don't want to forget that piece, because there's a piece of prayer of it. We've heard this, I think, many of us, and Paul's talked about this, Pastor Paul too, just the little breath prayers, because that can be a part of practicing the presence too, of just, as you know, you use the illustration of just how beautiful it is outside right now, and my daffodils are starting to make those little those daffodil heads to blossom, and just looking at that and saying, Lord Jesus, just thank you for the beauty of this flower that you just gave me right here. I didn't have to do anything to make this happen. That little breath prayer, thank you, Jesus, for this flower. It gives me delight. So in practicing that presence, we can also just speak those little things of, or it can be something of a friend who's brought a need to us. And in that moment, we can say a breath prayer in practicing his presence with us of, Lord Jesus, you know my friend's need. Be with her right now. So we can breathe just those short, simple little things. So practicing the presence is just connecting with God in those little breath prayers as well, that tie in, again, another practice, a practice of prayer that is ongoing, not those longer segments of prayer, which are very important in our practice as well. But this is one I can just walk along with him through the day. And in that moment, when a God sighting comes, I can say, okay, I can breathe a prayer about that as well.
Yeah, it seems like it opens up more space for us to act on things too, into other practices and things like that. Even if I'm thinking, if I'm regularly practicing the presence of God, then when I do have something that comes up and the good Christian in me wants to say, I'll pray for you, you know? Well, what if I just stopped and prayed for literally one sentence and trusted that that was enough, and what that would mean to people? Even when we'll do that on the phone with people, we'll say, well, I'll pray for you. Well, what if you just did it right there? You could pray for them right in that moment, and it wouldn't have to be anything long and eloquent. And that, again, seems to be like the ripple effect of practicing the presence, if it starts to impact everything that you're doing.
Exactly, and that's so it. And gosh, and as you were saying that, Jenna, here's one thing we can do now that the grocery stores are putting markers on the floor, that you can stand at that six-foot mark and look at the person ahead of you. You can see the back of their head, but you can picture Jesus being right there and say that breath prayer for that person. That breath prayer might be, God, I don't know what their day is about, but boy, can you be with them in it? Will you be with them in it? Or bless them this day with something. And we have an opportunity right there of doing a beautiful thing for that person that they may not, they certainly will not know about, but God does. Yeah, so many ways. And so practicing the presence is kind of a holistic practice that we can engage in our lives in so many different ways that opens up so many of those other practices as well.
Yeah. Any last pieces of encouragement or advice you have on practicing the presence?
Grace, we've said it over and over again. There's no perfect anyway. It's unique to every one of us. And God is as infinite in how he meets with us in those moments as the sands of the sea, and just take it and let it bring just joy to you, and appreciating the wonders of who God is in our life.
Yeah, that's a good word. All right, that was more on practicing different spiritual practices with J.W. Grow and Diane Bryant. And you can check out all of our other podcasts about practicing spiritual practices during this season.